I have the deepest appreciation, Nadine, to let me talk to your wonderful audience, because these people, yourself included, and these people watching this program, I refer to them as cultural creatives. I go, what does that mean? I say, the old system is falling apart. You want to build a new system? You don't fix the old one. That's broken.
Yes.
You step outside and you create a new culture, a new community. And this is seeded by people who are thinking different than those, what I say, in the box. I say, no, thinking in the box, the box is broken. Step outside the box, create another way of life, another way of civilization, another way of how do I spend my days here? And all of a sudden, then guess what? You're creating a new consciousness where people that are struggling will come over here, because the only way out of the struggle is to get outside the box. And you have to be a cultural creative. And so you're a cultural creative. But then I want people to understand, this audience, if you're listening to this program, then by definition, you're a cultural creative. I say, why? Because you're looking for answers that you're not going to get from the conventional TV show or the conventional news media. You're looking for answers that can make a difference.
Hallo Herz, schön, dass du eingeschaltet hast. Ich bin Nadine Gerhardt und dieser Podcast ist mein absolutes Herzensprojekt, um dich zu inspirieren auf deinem ganz individuellen Weg zu mehr Fülle, Liebe und Lebensfreude. Hallo, du wundervolle Seele! Happy Monday! Heute sind wir wieder zurück im Heiter bis Sonic Podcast und der Name spricht heute mal wieder Bände. Ich strahle von einem Ort zum nächsten, denn ich habe mich sage und schreibe 1,5 Jahre auf dieses Interview gefreut. Obwohl ich nicht wusste, ob es überhaupt stattfinden wird, ob ich überhaupt eine Zusage bekomme. Und tada, die Zusage kam. Und ich empfehle dir heute, den Podcast, diese Episode, am besten sogar auf YouTube anzuschauen, denn da siehst du diesen Mann auch. Er trägt so viel Liebe in sich. Oh Gott, ich hätte einmal durch die Kamera hüpfen können, ich hätte ihn dauerknuddeln können. Wir hatten so viel Spaß vor dem Interview, wir hatten so viel Spaß nach dem Interview und mittendrin sowieso. Und oh ja, dieser Mann ist einfach bombastisch. Das Interview ist bombastisch. Ich spreche von keinem Geringeren als dem Pionier der neuen Wissenschaft, Dr. Bruce Lipton. Und über was sprechen wir? Ich mache es kurz. Wir sprechen darüber, wie wir im Einzelnen wie auch im Kollektiv vom Opferbewusstsein ins Schöpferbewusstsein hineintreten, in unsere Eigenmacht, in unsere Schöpfermacht. Denn hier sind wir handlungsfähig. Hier können wir uns die Welt erschaffen, die wir uns erwünschen oder die wir uns wünschen. Und du wirst an einer Stelle zweimal einen Piep von mir hören, wo ich so einen eigenen Überton einfach drüber setze. Wenn du mir bei Social Media folgst, dann wirst du bestimmt wissen, warum ich diesen Piep da setze. Und wenn nicht, ist es auch nicht so schlimm. Du wirst es trotzdem verstehen, um was es geht bei diesem Thema. Ganz, ganz viel Freude mit diesem ganz besonderen, zauberhaften Interview.
We are in the evolution that I have described earlier in my book, Spontaneous Evolution. We're in it right now, and people are afraid, and if they understand what's going on, maybe they won't be afraid, because we need to break this system to create one that we could survive with. So
yes,
it's an important time.
It's very important, because here in Germany there's so much fear right now, so much fear, because I have not enough money, but we are rich here, right? And they are afraid about heating and everything. It's so
crazy. I know, and you got to be careful, because fear generates reality.
Yes, that's true.
You know, the U.S., the center of the United States, they call it the breadbasket. They say that because most of the agriculture is in the center. And in 1929, the breadbasket turned into what is called the dust bowl. It turned out no more plants grew, dust storms and, you know, dirt and no growth and nothing going on. It was the Dust Bowl from 1929 to 1939. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing was the Great Depression was 1929 to 1940. And basically is when humans lost their spirit and hope. That was, depression took away hope and spirit. It doesn't just affect the humans, it affects everything in the environment. So the Dust Bowl was not an accident. It was nature reflecting human nature.
Amazing. So we are starting already.
Yes, because we should use every second of our time.
So first of all, I'm really, really happy that you are here in the High Hypersonic podcast, because today it's the World Day of Gratitude. So it's like, wow. And yes, I'm sure your assistant was like, oh my gosh, an email again from Nadine, please. Maybe she begged you that you come into the podcast. And yeah, you did it. So thank you. And welcome, Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Well, Nadine, I am so honored to be here, especially, you know, Gratitude Day. I live in gratitude because most of my life was like everybody else's life, you know, the fears, the concerns and all that stuff. And then the science, the new biology that I learned recognized, oh my goodness, I'm not a victim. I'm a creator. And all of a sudden I said, well, if I'm the creator, let's change this picture. And now I live every day. The truth be, I live heaven on earth every day. Because I recognize this is a place of creation. And then I took power over my creation. And as a result, I live heaven on earth because mm-hmm. that's my creation.
Right. So people often only go another way when the way stops, the way it comes to an end and the pain and the suffering is so big. How can this be changed?
Well, the idea is this. Let's start with a simple fact of physics, okay? Right. And quantum physics, I'm not going to go into detail, but quantum physics is the most valid or the most truthful of all the sciences. And principle number one, listen, principle number one, since 1927, human consciousness is creating life experiences. That's a principle of the most valid science. And in that science, there was another interesting fact. It says that everything is energy. That's quantum physics. The conventional ones we learned was called Newtonian physics, which said, oh, the universe is made out of matter and the universe is made out of energy, two different things. And quantum physics almost 100 years ago said, no, everything is energy. We are energy. We're actually, in the terms of energy, each of us is a unique energy field. And I say, what's a field? Well, it's a force of energy. And I say, well, I love it. Here's the definition of field. Invisible moving forces that influence the physical world. And I go, okay, that's interesting. And I say, guess what? Spirit. Definition. Invisible moving forces that influence the physical world. Quantum physics is revealing that we are spiritual entities. And the most important insight, there's so many things that come from this, but number one, you can't die. You're not even in here. You're a spirit. This is like a television set. You're watching the Bruce TV. And the Bruce show has got, I got antennas on my cells that pick up a broadcast. And Bruce is the broadcast and is playing on this TV. When you watch a TV and it breaks, we say, TV is dead. I go, tot, dead, gone. I say, is the broadcast still there? And they say, yes, the broadcast. You get another TV. And when you tune it to the station, the show is back on, but in a different TV. In physics, it says who we are spiritual energy fields playing through this mechanism. And that this mechanism, like a TV. So if the body dies, the broadcast is still there. And a future TV will have the same antennas that you have, and you'll be back, but in a different TV. Does it make a difference, male or female? I say, no, that's the TV. That's not the broadcast. I say, does it make a difference? It's white, brown, black, red, yellow. I say, no, that's the TV. That's not the broadcast. We're the broadcast. And the new science that backs up the physics is called epigenetics. When I was teaching in medical school, I was teaching genetics, or specifically genetic determinism. So what does that mean? It means this: the belief that most people have is that the genes control their lives, and that they didn't pick the genes, as far as they know, can't change the genes, and the genes turn on and off by themselves. That's what the program is. I say, when you put that together, then guess what? We're victims of our heredity. What was carrying the genes in the family, we could get. And so there were all these diseases connected to genes. And I go, no, it's not genes that cause the disease. Less than 1% of disease is connected to genes. 90% of illness, stress. And this world is in full stress, and the health crisis is getting bigger every day because of the stress. And I go, the genes don't cause this. The new science, epigenetics. Remember I said I was teaching genetics, which, let's say, genetic control, which means control by genes. But the new science is called epigenetic control. I say, what does that mean? Epi means above. We want to talk about skin. Mm-hmm. In science, we say epidermis. Mm-hmm. I go, what does it mean? Above the dermis. I go, yes, just underneath the skin is a layer called dermis. Epidermis means above dermis. Epigenetic control means control, control above the genes. And I go, well, what's different? The genes, genes do not turn on and off. That's a fact. There's no on and off to a gene. A gene is a blueprint to make the parts of the body. And I go into an architect's office, and let's say she's working on a blueprint, and you ask her, you say, is your blueprint on or off? And she would look at you, you're crazy. There's no on and off to a blueprint. I go, exactly. Genes are just blueprints. The mind is the architect. The mind controls the genes. And then I said, well, wait, in the old story, genes control themselves. I'm a victim. Today's story is my mind controls the genes and I control my mind. So I'm not a victim of my genes. I'm master of my genes.
Oh, wow.
And your mind creates, if I could simplify it the simplest way. Mm-hmm. We say the cells, inside the cells are the genes inside with the nucleus. They call the nucleus the structure, okay? And in the book right now, you could go anywhere where you are, school is there. I say, look, and it says, the nucleus of the cell is the brain of the cell. I said, what does that mean? Well, the genes are in the nucleus. So they say the genes are like nerve cells, turn on and turn off and control things. So they said the nucleus is the brain. It's like, no. The nucleus is the reproductive organ, the gonad of the cell. It's reproduction. That's what the DNA does, reproduces the body, the cells, the reproduction. The brain of the cell is the skin. And I go, you know what's interesting? In the embryo of the human, the skin on the back turns in and becomes the spinal cord and the brain. So both the cell and the human the brain comes from the skin. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I say, so genes do not control. I say, nope. The environment, the cell will adjust. Like if you go outside right now and it's cold out, then you feel cold on the skin, which is reading the environment. Then it will cause your body to warm up. Okay, so you stay warm. Or in the summertime, you go out and you feel that it's hot out. Then the temperature will cause the body to go to a lower temperature, cool off. Okay, so I say, genes had no control over this. Environment controls this. I go, this is what we now find. Genes have really not very much control. It's the environment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden I have to say this. The cells in my body, my body is like a culture dish, a skin-covered culture dish inside. 50 trillion cells inside.
Wow.
But they have to grow in the environment. And I say, what's the environment? The blood is what we call the culture medium. This mm-hmm. is where the cells live, in blood. Then my research showed the chemistry of the blood controlled the genes. So I said, oh, the blood controls the genes. And I go, yeah. And then I say, well, who controls the chemistry? I say, the brain is the chemist that puts the chemistry into the blood that controls the genes. And then the most important question, what chemistry should the brain put into the blood? And the answer, whatever picture you have in your mind, love, fear, anger, sadness, the brain translates that picture into chemistry, which goes into the blood, and the blood goes to the cells and controls the biology.
Wow.
And then if you understand this, you're not controlled by the genes, you're controlled by the picture in your mind. And most of us, as you said, today's world, the picture is scary. The picture is fear. It's not going to work. Things are going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, yes, that. And then I say, when those pictures are in the mind, the chemistry puts stress hormones into the body. And the stress hormones shut down the growth of the body. To get ready for a run from that tiger, that saber-toothed tiger is chasing you. So you want all the blood in your arms and legs. So I say, the stress hormones squeeze the blood vessels in the gut, mm-hmm. which is where the maintenance of the body, re-cleaning of the body, refueling the body, all takes place inside. But when you're running from a tiger, I don't care about this right now. I need to get all the energy into my arms and legs. So stress hormones shut the blood vessels in the gut. And when people are afraid, they say, I feel butterflies in my stomach. I feel fluttering. I go, what you are feeling is the blood vessels are squeezing shut and pushing the blood from the inside here to the arms and to the legs so I could run in fear.
Wow.
So number one, stress shuts down the growth of the body to put the energy into run, fight, mm-hmm. flight, okay? Number two, very critical. Stress hormones shut off the immune system. And the reason is the immune system protects you of something on the inside that gets in there. And the immune system uses a lot of energy. Sometimes when people are sick, they don't have energy to get out of the bed. So if you're being chased by a tiger, do you want the immune system to work? I go, no, I need all the energy to run away from the tiger. So stress hormones shut down the immune system. Okay. And there's one last thing that stress hormones do. Remember I said they squeeze the blood vessels in the gut shut, and that pushes the blood to the muscles. Mm-hmm. The stress hormones cause the blood vessels in the front brain here, which is conscious thinking brain. It causes the blood vessels to squeeze shut, just like here. Mm-hmm. But when it does, then the blood gets pushed to the hindbrain, That's where the reflexes, reactions occur. So we get less intelligent when we're fear, because fear says, somebody help me. I'm a victim. Help me. I'm a victim. Why? Because the brain is saying, I can't, this is nothing I can do with. I'm just a victim. So let's put three things together. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this program of how it works was a million years ago. It was created, not today. And I say, what did we have to be afraid of? Let's say 100,000 years ago. Why do we need to get stressed? What would cause that? I say, saber-toothed tiger. Mm-hmm. If it shows up, you got to run like crazy and escape. So I say, here's the difference between then and today. In history, if you escape the tiger, 10 minutes of running, if you escape the tiger, then there's no more fear. And so fear was only a short number of minutes. And then you shut, and the system that was shutting you down is only for a few minutes. And then when you're free of the tiger, everything opens up, the stomach opens up, the brain opens up, the immune system, everything's good. Difference is, today, fears are all day, all week, all year. I go, the human biology was not designed to be in fear more than a few minutes at a time, because it shuts everything down. But in our world, the fear, even like the COVID story, and people got afraid and they wouldn't talk to each other and they separate from each other and they don't get close and they stay home. And I get, that was fear. And that fear causes what? Stress hormones. And I say, then what do stress hormones do? Well, they cause my immune system to shut down. I go, that's not what you want. If the virus is coming, I don't want my immune system shut down. I want my immune system working. Mm-hmm. But the fear that you heard on the news, the fear you saw on the web, or the fear on the television set, that causes people to become weaker. Mm-hmm. For the virus.
Right.
Did the virus, was it that strong? It killed people? I go, nope. People go, but a lot of people died. I go, yes. People died not because the virus was that strong. People died because they were not healthy. That most of them were overweight. Most of them had diabetes. Most of them were senior citizens whose mind and immune system isn't working that good anyway. But younger people, healthier people, it was better to get the virus than to get the
peep, peep.
Because it's side effects I don't want to get into because it's too many right now. But the point was this, people got afraid. And I say, what did people do when they're afraid? I said, they hid from each other and they went to their own places. And what I want people to understand is, we as a population only have power when we form a community. If people are separated into separate pieces, there is no community and people have no power. And that's just what happened in COVID. We lost the power and we bought somebody who said, this is what you do.
Yes.
Who said that?
Yes. Yeah. And here in Germany, we have a new illness in the summer because there were a lot of people, they had, I only know the word in German when you, like, you know what I mean?
A cough, and a then, flu.
A cough, it's not really a flu, but they said it's a new illness because our immune system is like that because of the masks. So
yes, because oxygen is what makes us work. And when you start breathing, you get some oxygen, but you get more of the carbon dioxide you're breathing out. Mm-hmm. But if it can't go, if the mask is on, the carbon dioxide doesn't go out. It stays in the mask. Then I said, what's your next breath? I said, carbon dioxide, not oxygen. And this is a problem. The whole thing, I'm very sorry to say, because I'm saying this as a it's not just an idea about immunology. I've been a professor of immunology for the last 12 years. So when I heard this story coming, I go, this doesn't sound right to me. And it's not, because now we're seeing all the results, the side effects, people, young people dying of heart attacks. Never happened like this before. All kinds of problems coming. This is from that, it's an experimental vaccine. Well, wow. We were the rats in the experiment. And guess what? It's not a good program at all. It actually made people sicker and resulted in more people dying than helping people. Rather than saying, hide and separate from each other, the news and the government should have saying, get healthy, start to exercise, eat better food, meditate, get rid of stress. These are the things that caused you to get sick, not the virus.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, it's so important words you say. It's it's big, and people need to know that.
They do, because they don't realize just watching the TV made the immune system weak.
Yeah. And when my television, my body is ill, like not only corona, maybe I have tinnitus or back pain, I see a lot of people which are they identify themselves with the illness,
yes.
Right? Like
yeah,
I am the tinnitus, I am the back pain. How
yes.
can we change that?
You have to change this to recognize something right now, the most important thing in the world, and that is this: genes are only responsible for less than 1% of illness.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is, then where is illness coming from? Not from the genes. It's coming from the fact that we are no longer healthy humans. We're not exercising. We're eating terrible food and lots of it. The sugar and the carbohydrates that we eat, this is not a human diet. This is what we learned with agriculture.
Right.
We didn't eat like this before. And so we're not being healthy. And what happens is, in nature, let's just say, wolves chase like a herd of deer. I go, the wolf does not attack the strongest deer. The wolf always takes the weakest deer, because that's the one they're going to catch, the weakest one. But this is nature's way, because what it says, it eliminates the weaker population from creating more weak population, but it gives the power to the strong ones, which the wolves never attack the strong ones. Okay. The virus is like a wolf. The human population at the edges, very unhealthy, extremely unhealthy. As I said, 70% were extremely obese, and 70 some percent were diabetic. And then there's heart disease in the number, and stress. And I say, these are where the illness came from. And you blame the virus. I go, when they started doing testing, they found that I think 40% of the people that took the test that was positive, they didn't even know they had a virus.
Right.
Why? If the immune system is working, it will eliminate the virus. But if you, the word compromise the immune system, it's not able to work with the virus. And this is why the wrong message, don't hide, get stronger. That's nature telling you, don't be the weak one, because you're going to lose. Weak ones always drop out at some point.
Yes. What else could we learn from nature?
Well, one of the most important things is that a garden is not a battleground. The Garden of Eden wasn't a battleground, because a garden is everything working together to make a garden. All the insects, the animals, the plants, they all work together. That's a garden. A garden is not a battleground, but we turned the garden into a battleground, competition, fighting one another, struggling, destroying the ecosystem. So, well, nature is cooperation. Humans are competition. That's two different things. Cooperation, we work together. Competition, I beat you. I'm the winner, you're the loser. That's what we're doing here. It's like, This doesn't work in a garden. There's no competition. A garden is cooperation. So we are in a learning phase right now. Mm-hmm. We've been separated from each other. We separate based on the race. We separate based on religion. We separate based on the economy and politics and separation. I go, that's the failure of human civilization. Mm-hmm. Because our evolution is not separation. Our evolution is coming together and recognize each one of us as a piece of something bigger called humanity. Mm-hmm. We're humans. Mm-hmm. We're cells in something bigger called humanity. But humanity means all the cells have to come together. Mm-hmm. And right now, the human population and human illness are both the same. Autoimmune disease. Autoimmune disease means self-destruction. Mm-hmm. The human population is undergoing self-destruction. We're fighting each other and doing all that blah, blah. Nobody's helping each other. Mm-hmm. And what's going on in the human outer world is also one of the highest illnesses that humans have is self-destruction. Cancer, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, diabetes type 2. These aren't genetic. These are not living in harmony. So right. The message is there. If you want to survive on this planet, it's not competition for fitness. It's cooperation and harmony. And this is why we had to be careful because, for example, the COVID story took away cooperation and harmony. It was gone. I go, that's the opposite of evolution. Yeah. Evolutions come together and work in harmony with each other.
Right. And what I feel is that there's one side which the people are very rich and the other side, the people, has nothing. And the world, everything comes because we need to go into a balance back again, right?
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons NASA is the big science institute in the United States. Mm-hmm. They did a research project around the world. And what they found is this, it's a fact, and they published the article, that human civilization is described as industrial civilization. That's the one we're in. According to the article, industrial civilization is facing, and I want to emphasize the word in English, irreversible collapse. Irreversible collapse means it's collapsing. But it's not going back. Oh, wow. It's irreversible. To survive, we have to build something else. You can't go back and fix this one. This is the one where the problem is. Yeah. So when you see civilization falling apart, which scares most people, it makes the stress hormones, makes them sick. I go, no. When you see it falling apart, you go, thank you. You go, what do you mean? I go, because it's the civilization that we're in that is destroying the environment and leading to our own extinction. And how long did NASA say it would be for this irreversible collapse? You ready? Mm-hmm. 20 years maybe or less. And so it says, okay, listen, folks, this world is going through change right now. You see the change. What you see is the falling down of the structure. It's not working. I go, this is a good. I say, why? Because it's the structure of civilization that is causing the problem. You right. want to survive, you have to build a different civilization, one that's based on different principles of spirituality, harmony, love, cooperation, not this one based on fear and violence and all that stuff. That's the wrong one. And this is destructive. We're destroying ourselves. So the way out is to do something like you're doing, Nadine. Let's give knowledge to people, because there's an old saying that everyone has heard, knowledge is power. And I go, everyone knows that. And I said, well, let me say the same thing, because it's more, if I say it this way, it's more important. I go, a lack of knowledge is a lack of power. What you don't know will disempower you. And I'm saying the beliefs that we have today, they're fundamentally flawed. Mm-hmm. Number one, people say, well, genes control my life. I say that's 100% wrong. You control the genes. Mm-hmm. If you understand that, then there's a different outcome. Instead of saying, oh, I got a cancer gene, I go, there's no gene that causes cancer. Not one gene causes cancer. Mm-hmm. A life not in harmony causes cancer. The gene will be activated when there's disharmony. But the gene doesn't get activated if you're living happy and healthy and loving. And that's why women that carry the breast cancer gene, they're so afraid. I got the breast cancer gene. I'm going to get cancer. And the picture in their mind is a picture of cancer and disease. And I go, stop. Mm-hmm. 50% of the women that carry the cancer gene never get the cancer. There's a point, and it is having the gene doesn't mean you get cancer. Having the gene and not living in harmony is what causes mm-hmm. cancer. So you can kill all the cancer cells. I say they're not the problem. That's the result of a problem. Mm-hmm. First, it was the lack of harmony, and that made disharmony in this body, which leads to a cancer. Mm-hmm. So we have to get rid of beliefs that are not supporting us. That one, for example. The other belief is we separate the universe into matter, physical things, and energy, invisible forces. Mm-hmm. And then in history, we say whatever's made out of matter can only be affected by matter. So I go, mm-hmm. oh, humans are made out of matter. So guess what they say? The only way you can fix your life is to buy a chemical, a drug. Mm-hmm. I go, absolutely wrong, because we're actually energy. Mm-hmm. And this is quantum physics. And it's hard for people to believe because we live every day in what looks like, oh, look, I just touched mm-hmm. myself. It's physical, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. that's an illusion of energy. Mm-hmm. We don't have that much time to talk about it, but that's an illusion. Yeah. And I go, the significance is this, energy affects energy. I go, what energy affects this energy? And I go, consciousness. And this is the new thing. Mm-hmm. We have to get out of matter and energy as separate, because they put spirit over here. They say, oh, spirit's over here. No, that doesn't connect to matter. Matter is separate from energy. So spirituality disappeared. Mm-hmm. People go to church. They say the words on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, they forget the words until next Sunday. Then they come back and yes. say the words again. So
true.
The idea is you have to know something that I didn't believe in as a scientist. Mm-hmm. I did not believe in spirituality. And I said when I was teaching a long time ago, I was teaching genes, genetic determinism. There's no spirituality. Mm-hmm. But when I started to get into quantum physics and understand more about the nature of the cells, the fact is that's where I said, we're in a broadcast, just like a TV broadcast. Mm-hmm. No two people have the same set of antennas. Mm-hmm. And I go, what does that mean? I say, it's like on a radio, you got a dial. You can go from station to, you turn it, there's another station, turn it, there's another station. Each of us is like a station on a very giant radio mm-hmm. receiving our own broadcast. You do not have the same receptors that I have. No mm-hmm. two people have the same. Mm-hmm. This is why we can't change parts with each other. I can't put an organ into your body because your cells know mm-hmm. self. They know the cells with the right antennas on them, your antennas. If mm-hmm. you put in a different cell with different antennas on it, the immune system says not self. So if I transplant a kidney from one person to another, the recipient of the kidney, they're not spiritually the same people, they're different. So their immune system will say not self and try to eliminate the graft. Okay. That's why I said mm-hmm. they gave him stress hormones so that the immune system wouldn't do that. So now it says every one of us is a different self. Why? You can't change parts with each other. We have like a serial number on our cells, different from each person. So I go, significance of that. The significance of that, each of us is receiving a different broadcast field, energy. Mm-hmm. than anybody else. You receive a different one from me. I have a different one than you. No two people have the same. And I say, so what's the broadcast? I go, well, as I just said, in physics, they call it a field, but it's the same definition as spirit. And when I started to understand the physics, I said, oh, God, I'm not in here. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that happened in my whole life was this great joy that I can hardly explain. Tears were coming down my eyes as I understood the science. And the science said, I cannot die. You cannot die. You're not in here. And if the TV goes, you get another TV, you'll be back again. And I go, when I started to understand this, the first thing that came to me was,